Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Sometimes God operates through closed doors. You want to do something, you want to take the job, and then you don't get it. That's a closed door. Again, when we think of God's providence, you might be really bummed that you didn't get the job, but when God, you've heard it said, when God closes a door, he opens a window. God's got something in mind. God isn't leaving you abandoned. God's got a plan for you.
Paul was ready and willing to take the gospel anywhere God led. But there were times when he was ready, but God said no. God knows well beyond our understanding, and his plan is always better than ours. With more on listening and understanding when the Spirit closes doors, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, with part two of our teaching in Acts 16, 6 through 10.
In a multitude of counselor, things are established and it's good. Now this is active on our part, right? We talk about the activeness of looking at the word, learning it, studying it, memorizing it, that's active. The leading of the Spirit on our part is passive. On God's part, it's active. But the Holy Spirit's leading us and guiding us and we want to respond to it, the leading and guiding of the Spirit. But it's passive on our part. This is active. You've got to go and find people that you trust that you can ask questions to. You know what else it is? We read a passage that said God leads the humble. It's humble. Because sometimes we're like, I don't need to ask nobody. I'll do it myself. All right, good luck with that. Because you're going to need luck. Because if you find people who are godly that you can go to, then your ways can be established. You can find wisdom as you interact with people. Finally, Proverbs 19:20, it says, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. As you grow older, you become the mature believer that other people will come to find direction to be able to help to be established. And finally, we come to providence. And providence is interesting. It is God moving through circumstances that are completely out of your control to direct you the way that God wants to direct you. Let me read to you Ephesians 1:11. It says, in him we have obtained an inheritance. That's an amazing statement. We are co-inheritors with Jesus. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for Christians, you have it all. Today you say, I'm broke, I don't have nothing. No, you got everything. You just aren't looking at it rightly. You're a co-inheritor with Christ. So he says, in him we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works, here's the providence, all things according to the counsel of his will. He is working all things according to the counsel of his will. So you're getting ready to move to that new city, and then some crisis happens in your life, and you're not able to go. You were looking forward to going, but things fell apart, and you just weren't able to do it. How do you know that's not God's providence? How do you know that things would have been much worse there? That's why we're told to thank God in everything, in the way that he moves. Now, I've got a movie that I want to give you as an example of what providence is, and it's strange, all right? I know that. This is an alien movie. It's a movie about aliens attacking, all right? But the whole movie is about providence. And if you've seen it, I think you'll get that as I explain this. So how many of you guys are familiar with the producer, the director, M. Night Shyamalan? Raise your hand. So a few of you. People either love his movies or hate him, right? So Village is an M. Night Shyamalan movie, remember, with Joaquin Phoenix? And I love the movie, but I've told a lot of people, you got to watch this movie. They watch it and they're like, what did you have me watch? That was the strangest thing that I ever saw. Well, there's an M. Night Shyamalan movie which has Mel Gibson in it called Signs. It's an alien movie, right? So that immediately would make you go, and this is a spoiler alert, right? I know the movie came out 100 years ago, but this is a spoiler alert, just in case you haven't seen it. I know it's like 20 years ago, 25, whatever it was. So he's a pastor early on in the movie, and his wife gets killed in an auto accident, and he loses his faith. He walks away from the Lord because his wife gets killed. He's taking care of his children who are young, And then the aliens attack. Okay, that's the weird part, all right? Then the aliens attack. But there are these certain things in their lives that have seemed to not be positive. His brother was going to be a professional baseball player, but he wasn't able to do that. His son has asthma. There's just a few things that go on like that. But at the end of the movie, when the aliens have attacked, for them to survive that night, all of those things that looked like they were negative become a positive. I'll give you just one example. His son that has asthma is taken by the aliens. It's weird, I know. Okay, it's weird. I understand. I understand how weird this is. But he's taken by the alien, and the alien has poison that he can shoot at people to kill them. And so when they're coming to try to rescue the son, the alien shoots the poison at the boy. But he's got asthma, and his airway is closed, and he ends up not taking in the poison. So the asthma providentially saved his life. That's the way providence works. And he rediscovers his faith. It's all a good thing. See, the whole movie is about, you know, a man of God losing his faith and then getting his faith back when he sees the providence of God. He sees all the providence in the end, and he realizes that God was at work the entire time. That's providence. And providence works in our lives, and we don't even know it. We don't know what God's doing. Something that we may think is negative, that we may think, I wish this would never be, God may have it there for a reason that we don't know, because God oversees everything. And I love the concept and the idea of providence in our lives. And I love especially when we see it. All right, let's get to our text. They're on their second missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas are no longer a team. It's Paul and Silas. They've stopped by Lystra, which is in the region of Galatia, and they've picked up Timothy. And now they are moving on. They've strengthened the churches that are in that region. They are growing, but now they're going to take the gospel to a new area. They want to go into Asia, but you'll see what happens here. God's going to direct them where to go. Look at verse 6 of Acts chapter 16. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, by the way, don't both of those sound really cold? Phrygia and Galatia. Doesn't sound like a place you want to be. So when they had gone through Phrygia and Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach in Asia. So Paul, Silas, and Timothy wanted to go to the east, which would have bring them over into India and into Asia, but the Holy Spirit forbade them. Now, do you think it's a good thing to take the gospel into India, into Asia? Certainly. And people do. But it's not Paul. See, God's got his plan for us as individuals. And Paul's plan isn't to take the gospel into India. Traditionally, it's said that Thomas takes the gospel, you know, doubting Thomas takes the gospel into India, traditionally. God's plan for Paul was something else. And so somehow the door is closed. It says that the Spirit forbade them to preach the word in Asia. We don't know how God shut that door. We don't really have any idea. Some have suggested that it's an illness by Paul. Because remember, they're in the region of Galatia, Phrygia and Galatia. And in the letter to the Galatians, Paul says to them, you know that I preached the word to you because of an infirmity. Now, an infirmity, we get the word infirmary from it, is sickness or illness or injury. So Paul has some problem that maybe caused him to stall and didn't allow him to go over into Asia. Now, they head the other way. Verse 7, after that, they came to Mysa and turned to go into Bithynia. Bithynia is up north from Phrygia and Galatia. So they want to go east. They can't go that way. Now they want to go up into Bithynia. Again, Bithynia needs the gospel. It's going to get the gospel, but not yet, and not by Paul. So it says, but the Spirit did not permit them. Now again, they are forbidden by the Spirit to go to Asia. Here the Spirit does not permit them. These are two closed doors. Sometimes God operates through closed doors. You want to do something, you want to take the job, and then you don't get it. That's a closed door. Again, when we think of God's providence, you might be really bummed that you didn't get the job, but when God, you've heard it said, when God closes a door, he opens a window. God's got something in mind. God isn't leaving you abandoned. God's got a plan for you, And it is what? Good, acceptable, and perfect, even when a door is closed. So then it says, let's go down to verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man from Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, they are in Troas. That's said in verse 8, passing through Mysa, they came to Troas. Troas is Troy, the city of Troy. And if you go across the Aegean Sea, you go to Greece. Macedonia is Greece. Philip the Macedonian, who was Alexander the Great's father, is Greek. And so God wants them to go to Greece, plant the church of Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, and Corinth, which are all in Greece. That's God's plan. So he sees a vision. Now, I don't know what this vision was like for Paul. I don't know. It's at nighttime. I don't know if a screen rolled out first, a little television set rolled in, and he could see a picture and a man, a Greek man, come over and help us. And Paul was like, we're going to Macedonia. I don't know if it works that way. I know that I've had visions that have helped me, but they're different than that. They're not like that. I'll just give you one example. What happened to me years ago, we had just come out to start the church here. The church had been going for a couple of years. I had an auto upholstery shop called Auto Improvements Unlimited in Albuquerque. We had hired a manager to take care of things there. He had not been paying the employee taxes. In other words, we were withholding taxes. We had 12 employees. We've been withholding taxes from employees and not paying the IRS. Now, you can imagine, if you don't pay your taxes how they feel, how do you think they feel when you take taxes from other people and don't pay them? Long story short, we were $57,000 in debt. And this is in 1988, and I'm not even 30 years old yet. And we've got this huge debt. On top of that, we had several supply companies that had given us a line of credit for us to do business. And when we shut things down, we didn't have money to pay them off. So we owed another $10,000, $12,000 to these supply companies. Again, this is in the 80s. This isn't today. Today it'd be, you know, heartbreaking. We don't even have a house yet. And all of a sudden we're $60,000+ into debt. So me and Lisa are praying what to do. We're driving to Phoenix one day and we start talking about bankruptcy. Now, bankruptcy won't clear up the IRS, but bankruptcy will clear up the other things so we can pay more to the IRS. And we're already paying $500 a month to them, which is high. It's like 25% of our salary at that point is going to the IRS. And they're still sending me letters threatening to throw me in jail. So we make a decision while we're driving that we're going to go ahead and file bankruptcy. And this is what happens to me. In my mind's eye, a picture flashes. I didn't see it in front of me, but just a picture flashed in my mind of a serpent biting me in the back of the neck. And we drove for a little while longer, and I said, I just saw something weird. And I told her about it, and she said, that's God telling us that we're going to open ourselves up to the devil, the enemy, if we file bankruptcy. We're not supposed to do it. We didn't file bankruptcy. Long story short, it took us about 12 years to pay everything off, which seemed like a really long time. It is a really long time. But God met us there. God did some amazing things. The IRS finally took an offer of compromise. Lisa's stepdad was able to get us $20,000. He was a CPA and was able to get us a $20,000 loan at a lower rate. Just pieces came together and God was able to do it. Now, it's interesting. I told this story last night about how that vision worked in my life and how many people came up to me telling me about visions they had, things that they had seen or something like that that brought about something positive in their own lives. So I don't know how God operates with it today. I know how he's operated in my life, and I know that some other people have had similar experiences, but God leads them so that they end up in Macedonia. So it says in verse 10, now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. I love at this point that Paul's kind of like, we concluded that's where we're supposed to go. This door shut, that door shut, little vision, okay, we're going off to Macedonia. Now, few thoughts in closing. Number one, part of our relationship with God as his children is that he is going to guide us, and that his guidance is going to lead to his will, which is good, acceptable, and perfect. We want it. We can fight God's will if we want to, but we don't know what we're going to get. In place of good, perfect, and acceptable, there should be a complete surrender to God. Number two, if we are self-seeking, self-focused, and selfish, can we really expect to be led by God? If we're humble and submitted to Him, if we're saying transform our minds, we don't want to be conformed by the world, but we want to be transformed by the Word of God, then we can expect God to lead us. And finally, because God works through providence, the Bible tells us to be thankful at all things. That can be a hard verse. Be thankful in everything. You know what's interesting about gratitude, the heart of gratitude, or the attitude of gratitude, as people say, is that those that are thankful are consistently happier than those who aren't. Those who feel entitled and are not very thankful in their lives are not as happy as those who have gratitude. I'm reading a book now called Confronting Christianity, and the author goes into these details in that first chapter about how Christianity really is better. And one of the things he goes into is the heart of gratitude and how it really does bring happiness into our lives when we are thankful, even when doors close, even when things don't go the way that we want, that we say, Lord, I trust you. What did Jesus teach us how to pray? This is the closing, by the way. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we want. And we'll be led into that good, acceptable, and perfect will that God has for each one of us. Stand up with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the time that we're able to spend in your word here today. Thank you that your word tells us so much about your leading. And I do pray that you would bring wise people into our lives that can help give us instruction and wisdom. We want the ways that we walk in to be established. And we pray that we would know your word. And thank you for your providence as it works in each one of our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a few minutes. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. That means you have to be transformed. And this happens when you call out on His name. The Bible says in John 1:12, as many as receive Him, He gives the right to become a child of God to those who believe in Him. You might think, well, I don't need to be born again. I go to church. Well, going to church is good, but going to church doesn't save you. You're not a Christian just because you go to church. You might think, well, I grew up in a Christian home. That's good, but there are no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. You have to make your own decision. God's waiting for you to say, Lord, come into my life. I want to live for you. I'm done living for myself, and I'm ready to live for you. In order for that to happen, your sins have to be forgiven because your sins separate you from God. God wants to lift the weight of sins off of you by Jesus going to the cross and dying in your place so your sins can be taken away. In Isaiah, it says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, I'll make them as white as snow. No sin you've ever committed cannot be forgiven. The only sin that won't be forgiven is the sin you will not confess. And if you'll say to Him today, Lord, I'm sorry, come into my life. I'm ready to live for you. You'll be transformed by Him. If you're here today and God's calling you, He's drawing you, then I'm going to give you an encouragement to just raise your hand. You're saying, I want Christ in my life. I'm ready to live for Him. I'm done living for myself. Lift your hand up now. Lift up high so I can see it. I want to take time to acknowledge your hand and pray for you. God bless you, sir, under the balcony there. God bless you, sir. Your hand went up immediately. That's great. God bless you in the back. That's awesome. God bless you up in the balcony. Both hands that are there. Just raise your hand now. Again, keep your hand raised. I'd like to acknowledge it and pray with you. God bless you here in the front. That's awesome. Anyone else? God bless you, sir, under the balcony. And God bless you there as well. That's great. God bless you there as well. That's awesome. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. God bless you. That's wonderful. All right, you can put your hands down. God bless you, sir. See your hand up there. That's great. You can put your hands down. I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned, and I know my sin separates me from you. But I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. How exciting. We are truly excited for you. God transforms us when we give our life to Him, and God's doing some amazing things around the world. There are people coming to Christ in Iran. Do you know that the church in Iran is the fastest growing church in the world today? There are people coming to Christ at record numbers in India, in Asia, and here in America as well. God's doing something beyond culturally what we are facing. Now, we have a new believers table over here. We've got a Bible and a new believers packet that we want to give you. This new believers packet, you've raised your hand, you've given your life to Christ. Now, what do you do? So we have information on what you can do now to make sure you're going to grow with Christ. So stop by the table. I know you think, I can do it on my own, I don't need it, but let us help you. We put the stuff together, and if you're here, you didn't give your life to Christ today, but you want to know, what kind of things should I be doing now to make sure that I have a strong Christian life in the future, stop by the table, ask them for the material. You can tell them, I didn't give my life to Christ today, but can I get the information? They'll be happy to give it to you. But stop by there and get those things. Now I want to bless you before we go. The blessing is out of the book of Numbers, and it's got God's name in it three times. When I say, now may the Lord bless you, the word Lord there is the tetragrammaton, the four letters in the Hebrew Bible. That's the name of God, the ever-existent one, the great I am. And it says, speak God's name over the people in this way. Listen how the Bible says to speak God's name over the people. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you find yourself walking closer to Jesus this week than ever before. May you find yourself led by his Spirit and providence and his word. And may you shine as a light in the midst of a dark world, because the world's getting darker. And it's said that light shines brighter in dark places. And God has chosen you, the Bible says, as an ambassador for Christ. May God fill you with the Spirit and use you effectively.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a recurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.